This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Equity Mind.
I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is useful.
Welcome to another episode of Equity Mates, a podcast that follows our journey of investing. Whether you're an absolute beginner or approaching Warren Buffett status, our aim is to help break down your barriers from beginning to dividend. My name is Bryce, and as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you going?
I'm very good, Bryce. Good to be here, but I can't say that I'm excited.
Oh, why's that?
If there was one episode...
You've just thrown everyone.
If there was one episode a year I could take off, it would be this one.
Take off.
Every year... We start the year with such hope. Little do I know that I'm setting myself up for the giant fall.
What are you
Ruined
talking
Christmas
about?
Once again. And we're talking stock of the year.
Stock of the year. We are in the final stages of 2022. We are wrapping up the year and looking back on what has happened in 2022. And of course, that must start with a review of our stock of the year that we did right back in February, whenever it was at the start of this year.
Start of the year, when we came back from the summer series.
This Thursday, we've got an interview with Oliver Haxtell from Fidelity on demographics. But then next week, we really close it out. Bold predictions review on Monday. Andrew Brown in on Thursday for bold predictions as well. And then Friday, we've got a crypto year in review episode. So plenty happening to close it out.
Speaking of crypto, on Tuesday, tomorrow, well, depending on when you're listening to this, over on Get Started Investing, we wrap the top five and bottom five ETFs of 2022.
You wouldn't want to be in crypto.
Sure, you can guess which one was the bottom.
All right, well, let's start with what we've learned this week before we do have a look at how our stocks of the year have performed, and then we'll close out the episode with a final book bonanza with none other than our producer, Sasha, who will be joining us. Me versus Sasha. Can I finally get a win on the board? I came in hot and have been beaten ever since.
Well, no. If you get another win on the board, the narrative going into Christmas is just going to be Bryce beats up on his employees. You beat Simon in the first game, and if you beat Sasha in the last one, can't beat anyone who doesn't pay a salary to.
true. All right, well, do you want to kick off with what we've learned, or do you have something?
Bryce, before we talk about what we learned this week, let's talk about the Equity Mates Awards, something we're very excited to be bringing back for the second year. We want to celebrate the people, the platforms, and the products that are building for the retail investor, that are making it easier, cheaper, more accessible for us to invest.
Yep.
What are the categories that we got this year?
We've got nominations are now open for Expert of the Year, podcast guests that inspired and shared their knowledge and helped us become better investors. We've got Product of the Year, think ETFs, LICs, any investment product that has captured your imagination, helped you get started on your investing journey.
Captured your imagination and your dollars.
And your dollars, yes. Platform of the Year and Stock of the Year. Now, it doesn't have to be the best performing stock. It's just whatever's lived in your head throughout the year that you classify as your stock of 2022. Kind of timely given that we are about to talk about our stock of the year for 2022.
I'm pretty confident I know which one's going to win that one.
Who? Zip.
Yeah.
So now our nominations are now open. There's going to be a link in our show notes. There is a link on our website. There is also a link in our bio on our social media platforms. We're accepting any nominations for any of those categories, and then awards will be 22nd of December.
Yeah, so nominations are open now. They close on the 13th of December. We'll shortlist the five finalists based on your nominations.
So they close tomorrow.
They close tomorrow, depending on when you're listening to this. We'll shortlist the finalists based on your nominations. Then we'll put it to the Equity Mates community for a vote. And as Bryce said, the winners will be announced on the 22nd of December. So get on it.
Love it. All right. Some interesting economic news came out during the week around the Australian economy. And last week you started the episode saying life is good. ASX year to date is up. You're feeling great.
How life changes in one week, hey? Now I've come in dour and sad to this episode.
And, yeah, well, the economic growth numbers for Australia have been pretty good. So I'm just going to whip through a couple of them. The economy this year, over the past year, has grown 5.9%. To put that in context, I reckon China, now we know China is in the depths of a COVID lockdown, but China is expected to grow 3.3%. So I think this has got to be a record for the first time that we've outstripped China's GDP growth in quite a while.
In our lifetime. Sure.
So that's interesting. Our economy is $2.2 trillion. And it is 6.4% larger today than it was before the pandemic hit.
Wow.
Yeah. So we went through the pandemic. If you look at
coal,
if you look at the from 1960 through to 2020, the dip of GDP activity during COVID is tiny. Minuscule.
Love that.
Love to see it.
Long-term investing.
The unemployment rate is near a five-decade low of 3.4%.
Yeah.
Smaller states are now starting to outstrip larger states in terms of economic growth. Northern Territory, ACT, Western Australia, South Australia, all now beating New South Wales and Victoria, and all over 10% growth rates.
Really?
Yeah, Northern Territory 18.4%.
That's that core lithium bump.
Discretionary spending. We've had inflation this year. We've had interest rate rises this year. Discretionary spending continues to grow at a rapid pace.
But we know that the consumer had heaps of savings because they couldn't leave the house during COVID.
Discretionary spending before COVID was $109 billion a year.
Okay.
COVID hit, it went to $80 billion, so a $20 billion drop. It is now $120 billion a year.
Wow.
So $10 billion more than before COVID. Anyway, the long story short, Ren, is that it's walls of worry.
So let me ask you this then. Economy's good, unemployment's down, people are spending.
Inflation's up.
Why is the sentiment so low?
I think it's because of what's potentially to come. All of this hot economy.
But sentiment is always driven by what's to come.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think what's to come is probably more dire than what has been over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. It's a hot economy and now the RBA is reacting to a hot economy in a pretty aggressive way. And also we're being influenced by overseas sentiment.
Yeah, this is my big takeaway. That last point, like there's no doubt that America has had a shocking year and the share market over there has sold off meaningfully. And even their economic data is actually not too bad. You know, they had a pretty strong jobs report recently. But I reckon we feel more negative because of we look to the US for everything.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're certainly flagging a recession far more than Australia is flagging a recession. And on Tuesday, the RBA lifted interest rates by 25 basis points, 0.25%. They don't meet now for 2 months, which is good.
Oh, don't they?
No, they take a bit of time off. So the next meeting, I think there's 60 days or so before the next decision will be made, so a couple of months, which should be a decent time for the RBA to see, you know, what impact the latest rate rise has had. But it doesn't feel like Australia is heading towards a recession as much as people think that the US is, and we know that there's a different story in Europe. But, yeah, it does feel that looking at numbers, economy is pretty hot and strong.
It does, yeah. We might have a recession, but it's like it may not be as bad as people. It feels like it's going to be.
Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, maybe we're wrong, but. Yeah.
If you want to have a look at some numbers, there's a great article over on the AFR called Australia's Overheated Economy in 10 Charts. and it actually gives you 10 charts to have a look at everything. So check that out. We'll put it in the show notes. What did you learn, Ren?
Not much.
Fair call.
You know, winding down for Christmas, we're getting our summer series ready. We've done 12 deep dives on 12 different companies listed here and overseas. And a big takeaway from that is just how cheap some of these US companies are becoming.
Mm.
It's pretty amazing.
It got me thinking when we were preparing for the stock of the, sorry, looking at stock of the year, that this coming stock of the year that we do next year really opens up some opportunities.
I don't want to think about that.
Everything's down. The last few years we've been doing it, it's just been like everything's been at record highs. But now we're in an opportunity of you could, if you get it right, there could be some serious rebounds.
Spotify did $11 billion US dollars in revenue last year and its market cap is $14 billion.
Wow.
Yeah. I won't talk about Interactive Corp because that'll tip my hand for stock of the year. there's just a lot of unprofitable companies like Spotify that are great businesses, have, you know, strong brands, millions of users, hundreds of millions of users, and they look cheap if they can survive.
Get it going.
And so, Bryce, I guess the first thing I learned this week is spend the time you have over Christmas researching outside the big FANG stocks and Australia's BHP, CBA and CSL, because there is opportunity there.
Absolutely.
Although my stock of the year performance might not indicate
we'll
that.
We'll see.
Second thing, just quickly, I've been loving what I'm learning over on the dive. It's just been so much fun to do some of these episodes. Last week we did Will Farming Be Fully Autonomous by 2030? We actually feed dropped on this Equity Mates feed the car company subscriptions episodes.
Yes.
But one that I was particularly excited to get off the board and into the podcast. Have you ever wondered why there are so many Thai restaurants?
No.
Well, nah, I'm sure you would have after you listen to this episode. The Thai government has a 20-year program to roll out Thai restaurants around the world. Just a fascinating story. One that Alf in the office was calling my conspiracy theory, but it is true, I promise you, and we explored it on that episode. So much fun. So I just, you know.
It is a fascinating
that's
story.
What I've learned.
Culinary diplomacy, as you call it, or as they call it. But anyway, let's keep moving. It is time for Stock of the Year. Who wants to go first? I'll go first. All right. I'm pretty sure my Stock of the Year was Macquarie.
Oh, here we go. I actually think it was Block.
No, it was definitely Macquarie. So I chose Macquarie at the start of the year, listed on the ASX. The ticker is MQG, Macquarie Group.
The most vanilla pick.
That's the idea of this game, is to win. The idea is to win. And
oh
not
God.
Only... context, ASX 200 down 5%, S&P 500 down 17% and NASDAQ down 30% year to date. Macquarie is down for the year. So that no surprises there. It's down 17%. So it didn't outperform the ASX. Full disclosure, I do own Macquarie and I have actually been buying this stock throughout the year.
Full disclosure, so do I.
So I did own it at the time of doing Stock of the Year as well. My general thesis at the start of the year was that I thought it would do okay in an interest rate environment. Their commodities business was booming and they do really well with volatility as well on their trading desks. And that's kind of played out. They are the kings and queens of constantly underestimating or at least under telling the market what they're going to do and constantly over-delivering and outperforming. And I think that just drives price performance every quarter when they report. They do it every time. Always outperform what the estimates are and what they tell the market they're going to do. So I don't know if it's incredibly good PR and comms, but it is what it is.
I think it's that they're incredibly good at making money.
Well, there's that part of the business as well, but they're very good at communicating and always outperforming. Bit of a volatile, rocky year from Jan through to March. They were down 17%, then they rebounded 18%. From April through to June, they were down 24%, then they rebounded 13%. And from September through to now, they're up 14%. Pretty impressive half-year report that just came out, $8.6 billion in revenue, up 11%, $2.3 billion in profit for the half, up 13%, spitting out a $3 dividend, and they're getting close to that $1 trillion in assets under management. They have $795 billion in assets under management, a true global asset manager. Love to see it from our own backyard.
Yeah, and they really are taking on the world. Like, they're building a reputation in the US, putting themselves alongside some of those big financial institutions and investment banks over there. I'm pretty sure they sponsor one of the college basketball teams. I'm pretty sure I saw a meme
actually
about that, like University of Pennsylvania or something. I can't remember the exact university, but yeah, there was a meme about it. And we have a mate over there, over in the States, who was saying that getting a job at Macquarie is seen in the same league as like your JPs and your Goldmans.
Yeah.
That's just one person's anecdotal view. But like, it's pretty cool that an Australian financial institution is really building a global reputation.
Absolutely. Well, 38% of net operating income comes from America's, 24% from Europe, almost 30% from here in Australia, 10% from Asia. So they do, yeah, truly are a global business. So, love to see it. Do own it. And they just keep churning it out.
I guess
after report.
So, like, I own Macquarie and I think it's an incredible business and it's been an incredible story. I guess my question always with these, like, people-driven businesses, because it is a people-driven business, it requires the best people. And right now, you know, especially in Australia, they sort of pick the university graduates that they want. People-driven businesses rely on having the right people with the right incentives and the right controls to manage risk and to make people think long-term and all of that. And so that's always the thing that you've got to be wary of.
I know what you're saying, but they're like the creme de la creme of investment banking, which no doubt Macquarie is in there. Like, they just are self-fulfilling. You're always going to have the ability to choose the best.
But like the creme de la creme of asset managers in the late 90s went to long-term capital management and then they blew it up because they were too smart by half. Like, you know, it's just, the creme de la creme 5 years ago of asset managers in Australia were probably going to Magellan. Creme de la creme 15 years ago were probably going to Platinum. I'm talking about asset managers, not investment banks, but like, better example, the creme de la creme were at a number of the investment banks that blew up.
I know what you're going to say.
In 2008. GFC,
but you've still got the creme de la creme more broadly that have survived. And it's still the creme de la creme.
It's just one man's opinion. But that's always my concern. It's not like, you know, a business like Apple, like if Tim Cook left and or he took all of his executives with him and went to start Orange, like you're probably not going to be able to repeat what Apple has because of like the product and its IP and all of that. If Shamara left and took all of her executives, she could create a rival investment bank / infrastructure asset manager. And like, obviously Macquarie own a lot of good assets. Anyway, it's just my thought around moat long term. You need to find your next Shamara is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, and we've heard it from multiple people that they not only are they good at making money, but they're incredibly good at developing their people as well.
Yeah. To be honest, I'm just negging your stock of the year because I don't want to get to mine.
Well, hard to neg a winner, so let's let's go to yours.
Well, is there anything else you want to say about it? Like, I know you got some half...
Everyone.
Did you hit those half-year numbers?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Went through all of it.
Oh, great.
You're obviously looking at your stock, trying to see how you can position this as a winner.
I told you I did inverse mine.
No,
didn't I?
No.
All right, well, let's take a break and then we'll get to mine.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right, because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The approach that I took after being in my own head about how am I going to beat Bryce, how am I going to pick a stock that doesn't lose a third of its value in the year that I pick it, and I was like, oh, do I just do the S&P 500 index? And then I was like, nah, that's boring. Like, that one, that won't be a good episode, and two, it's not in the spirit of the competition. And then I was like, do I just pick a super safe, you know, like an Alphabet or a Microsoft, like a company that just
plugs away.
Just plugs away.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you know what? I'm going to bring to the table a company that I just find interesting and that I would enjoy talking about for 15 minutes because, let's be honest, I can't do any worse than I've done.
All right, Ren, well, it's that time. Your stock of the year. What do we have? You pitched IAC?
Yes. Its name is IAC, previously called Interactive Corp. NASDAQ ticker, you can guess it, IAC.
Fascinating company.
Yeah, I think what I've done the last couple of years with my stock of the year is just pick a company that I find fascinating, and next year I'm going to pick a company that will
perform.
Well, the range of outcomes will be narrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was your goal this year, though.
Was it? No.
Yeah.
No. Well, I mean, look, this company isn't.
You were tossing around with a should I just go?
Yeah, I was talking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'd picked Google, I would have been down 35% year to date and I still would have lost. So I'm going to say the way that I lost this year is a more honourable loss.
Google 35%, jeez.
Down 65% year to date.
Okay.
So rather than talking about, let's just remind ourselves about what this company is and why it was so interesting. So IAC is the anti-conglomerate. So a lot of companies, especially with high-profile leadership, so IAC is led by American billionaire Barry Diller. A lot of these companies and these high-profile CEOs and chairmen try and build empires, and they try and bolt on and acquire and, you know, create sprawling conglomerates a la Rupert Murdoch's empire pre-splitting it up in 2013. Barry Diller is the opposite of that. He doesn't build a conglomerate. He tries to spit out different public companies. Over the past 25 years, Interactive Corp have spun out 11 public companies. And so as a shareholder of Interactive Corp, you then get shares in these other companies. And so then you have Interactive Corp and the other company. Then it spins out another one. Then you have three companies that you own. It's the anti-conglomerate. And the companies are meaningful. Tell me if you've heard of them. Expedia?
Yeah.
TripAdvisor.
Yep.
Match Group.
Yep.
AKA owner of Tinder and Hinge and
yep.
all of that.
Doing some series.
Vimeo.
Yep.
LendingTree.
I'm surprised Vimeo still is going, to be honest. But yeah, LendingTree, no.
Ticketmaster, which was then subsequently acquired.
Yes.
And then a few others that aren't as exciting. If you are as an investor, if you had bought 10 shares of IAC, then it was known as Silver King in 1995 when Barry Diller took it over. It was $39 a share, so you would have spent $390. By the start of this year, those 10 shares of IAC, you would still have 10 shares of IAC. You would also have 10 shares of Expedia, 4 shares of QVC, 5.5 shares of Live Nation, 0.6 shares of LendingTree, 21.5 shares of Match Group, 10 shares of TripAdvisor, 6.6 shares of Marriott Vacations, and $59 in cash from an acquisition of a company called Interval Leisure. So that's...
Totaling what?
So late 2020, that was worth $7,170.
Wow.
Which was a 12% compound annual growth rate, 390 into 7,170. By comparison, these numbers are from the start of the year, 12% compound annual for IAC, 10% compound annual growth rate for Berkshire, 7% compound annual growth rate for S&P 500. So it's a fascinating story. Mm. And the reason that I pitched it as the stock of the year in the start of this year was because it looked like they were turning their interest. So they've got a number of So what they do is they like acquire random internet companies, roll them up into a meaningful company and then spin that out. And so they did that with, you know, ticketing, with online ticket buying, with Ticketmaster. They did it with travel, booking with Expedia. They did it with online dating, with Match Group. They own like 39 different dating apps all in one company. Then they spin that out. And so they're doing that with digital publishing. They're doing it with a few other things. But the thing that had me really interested at the start of this year was they were doing it. It looked like they were doing it with online gambling.
Mm.
And as gambling and sports betting gets legalized in more and more US states, it looked like IAC were trying to make a play there. They own 12% of MGM Resorts, which has, I think, one of the biggest sports books over in the US, BetMGM, and they were looking at a number of other things. Safe to say, whatever they're looking at, the market didn't love it because they're down 65%.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. That's kind of like tech number down. But were they were profitable?
No, they're not profitable.
Oh, they're not.
I mean, they have been profitable in previous years and they're obviously trying to be profitable. But the story here is like a value creation story through like creating valuable businesses and spinning them off and stuff like that rather than...
Building internal, getting profit.
Yeah. So I think some of their bigger businesses that they own today... So the sports betting stuff is like... longer term, they own Angi, which is kind of like an Airtasker rival. They connect homeowners with tradies, and that's an online platform business. Online platform businesses haven't had a good year, but the real kicker, the one that, I mean, we didn't know how bad this year was going to be over in the US, but the one that has bitten me, they own a lot of digital publishing businesses.
Ah, right.
Yes. Let me name some of the titles that you'll be familiar with that they own. Better Homes and Gardens.
Oh, yeah.
Southern Living. A number of other home ones. Food and Wine. Simply Recipes. All Recipes. Know any of them?
No. Nah.
They own Investopedia.
Yeah.
Heard of them?
Yeah.
They own People, like People Magazine, and a couple of other entertainment ones. They own Travel and Leisure, InStyle, Brides. Did you guys look at that when you got married?
No.
Fair enough. And a few parent ones. They anyway, so they own a number of different online publishing businesses, 174 million unique online monthly viewers. They, in terms of their digital content presence, they have a chart here, you know, like Google's number one, obviously, Microsoft number two, Facebook number three, but they're right up there in amongst Walt Disney, Warner Media, Paramount. They're massive.
In terms of what reach?
US unique online monthly viewers.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Not a good business to be in 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not a good business. Yeah. Yeah.
IAC was not a good business to be in 2022.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, just to close out what they are, so we spoke about Angi, their home services platform, their publishing business. They also own Turo, or 27% of Turo.
Oh, yeah.
The peer-to-peer
car lending,
which Bryce and I did some videos for yesterday. They own Ask, which I think was Ask Jeeves back in the day.
Yeah.
So, you know, they own a lot of assets which maybe aren't great and they try and turn them around.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
It is an interesting business.
It is a fascinating business, the anti-conglomerate, but this is all just me padding because I lost.
You lost. you lost. But that's okay. There's always next year, Ren. So down 65%. I was down 17. The market down about 17 in the States, 30 NASDAQ, 5% here in ASX. So we've both...
Hold on. But the fair comparison to account for market risk is I was exposed to NASDAQ market risk. NASDAQ is down 30%. I was down 65%. So my alpha was negative 35. Your market was the ASX.
Nah.
Down 5%. Macquarie down 17%.
Still wins. still wins. Whatever way you look at it. It is what it is. All right. Well, that's it. Macquarie, IAC, we're our stocks of the year. We will be back next year, mid-Feb, with our 2023 stocks of the year and bold predictions just after we get through our summer series, which is 12 episodes back-to-back, each episode a deep dive on a company listed here in Australia or over in the US. And each episode also has an expert joining us to help us unpack the investment case for some of those companies. We've got Nike, we've got Coke, we've got Block, we've got Core Lithium. There are some great companies in there, and we've had an awesome time recording that content for the summer. But it does bring us to the end of this episode, Ren, where we're closing out with Book Bonanza and bringing on our producer, Sasha, to close it out. You've got the questions. Do you have the books?
Yeah.
So we've got Sasha. Sasha, welcome.
Nice to be welcomed.
Yes.
It's a hallowed air that I'm venturing into. I'm often in the background but not online.
Well, if you recognize the voice, Sasha is the host of our gold medal winning business podcast of the year, The Dive. It's our business news podcast Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays with Ren and Darcy. So
Bryce, that's how I get introduced from now on.
Nice, you have host to of the dive.
Include, yeah, the full title of the award before I walk into any room.
I also find it interesting that Bryce excludes himself from talking about it. Just does anything he can to weasel out of helping with scripts.
Yeah.
Dive also, Bryce also appears on the Dive from time to time.
Yeah, very loosely. All right, Ren. Well, we've got Book Bonanza. I did say it was our last one last week, but it's back again. I'm not going to say it's our last.
This will more than likely be our last one.
I said that last week. Who knows?
I'm running out of books. I'm going to need to bring more to the office.
So what have we got?
So, Sasha, you've heard this game before, so you know the rules. But for people who are tuning in for the first time, I've got three books here and a number of questions. You are going to leave with a book. That is a guarantee. If you can beat Bryce in this game, you get to choose the book. If Bryce beats you and he hasn't beaten a lot...
there's a first time for everything. Oh, no.
No response.
I've put forward my case each time that I've answered correct. I've answered correctly, never get the points.
I guess I'm just salty from this stock of the year thing. So, Sasha, if Bryce does win, he chooses the book you leave with. Let's get into it. Holding them up to the camera if you're watching on YouTube, the three books. The first one, The Ethical Investor by Nicole Haddow. Sasha, have you read it?
I've flicked through it when I'm in the office, but I haven't read it cover to cover yet.
Okay, nice. Well, this could be your opportunity. Mm-hmm. Second one, Get Started Investing. It's easier than you think to invest in shares. $19 on Amazon, the perfect Christmas gift.
Written
by us. Sasha, have you read it?
This was my Christmas present from Bryce last year. So it might be the second year in a row that I get... Now get started investing.
Let the record show that Sasha didn't actually answer the question.
No.
Yes, I did read it.
And then the third book, I decided to include a bit of a holiday beach read, not finance related, something that is a real page turner that I actually picked up in the airport as we were flying back from Bryce's Bucks.
Nice.
So,
hell yeah.
Just a nice little memento from that trip. Matthew Riley, the Australian author, his latest book, Cobalt Blue.
Hardcover as well.
Hardcover.
Yeah. Wow.
Hardcover, easy read.
Yeah, it looks good.
Sasha, have you read it?
No.
Bryce, have you?
No.
That's probably the one I'm angling for. I'm going to be honest. That's the one I'm going to win.
Okay. Sasha, you have to say you're going to get started investing.
Well, I've already got a copy Pride of Place on my bookshelf. I don't want to look like I...
Fair enough. All right, so the theme of the game this week, everyone was sharing on social media their Spotify Wrapped. So the theme is Spotify, the business behind Spotify. But before we get into it, what were your Spotify raps? What was your number one song?
So I don't have Spotify to start with, so a bit hard for me to...
You're a title man.
A bit hard for me to do this, but I do I do occasionally use my wife's and log into hers. And hers was, shout out to Harriet, no surprises, from Paris to Berlin. From Paris to Berlin. Yeah. My heart is pumping for love.
Okay.
And then do you just want the top one?
Yeah, we don't need to drag this too long. Sasha, what about you?
Mine's really embarrassing, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's Texas Man by The Chicks, formerly known as The Dixie Chicks, which was really unexpected. I thought I was going to get some Taylor Swift.
Surely
up there,
Taylor,
but no.
Yeah.
Wow, no. Okay, nice.
I don't know that song. I'll have to look it up after. Or maybe we can just quickly play it as a
Bryce,
10 seconds in this production.
Bryce has told me that he would never listen to The Chicks after they did that George W. Bush protest and got cancelled. All right, well, let's get into our Spotify-themed book bonanza. First question, there are multiple choices, but I'm going to give you guys each a chance to just get it outright first. What was the most streamed song on Spotify this year?
Antihero?
Sasha has locked in Antihero by Taylor Swift. It was released late in the year. Yeah. That might come back to bite her. Bryce Lesky, do you have a guess?
A Post Malone song.
Post Malone.
Yeah.
The four options to choose from. Stay by Australian Kid Laroi and Justin Bieber. Cold Heart, Panau Remix by Elton John and Dua Lipa. Yeah. As It Was by Harry Styles. And Heat Waves by Glass Animals.
Well, I really only know one of those three, which is Cold Heart, so I'm going to have to lock that in.
Sure, okay. Bryce, showing his pop culture knowledge. Yeah. Maybe you should get Spotify, bro.
I may have heard of them, but I couldn't tell you this. Like, if you were to play me those four, I may be like, oh, yeah, I heard this song.
This is we don't need to go
too deep. You keep digging.
Sasha, what would you like to guess?
Well, my second choice was going to be As It Was, so before you stop me, so that I'm going to lock in Harry Styles.
Sasha, you have got it right. As It Was by Harry Styles, number one. Point on the board for Sasha Kelly. Second question in Book Bonanza. This is a closest to the pin question. Whoever's closer to the correct number gets it right. How much is Spotify's share price down year to date?
I own Spotify, so this one might be...
Full disclosure, so do I, and I'm pretty confident Bryce does
as
well.
I do too, yeah. Something inside me tells me that it we know it definitely bombed hard, like 70% vibes. Something tells me it's bounced a bit over the last couple of months. So I'm going to say down like 55%.
All right, Bryce is locked in 55. Sasha, what are you going to say?
It's on the year, isn't it? It's not since I bought it, obviously. I'm going to say 68.
Sasha was so close to the pin, she almost got a hole in one. 69% year to date.
I was going to say 70. Who would have won then?
I would have had to look at the decimals. All right, Sasha, you're two up. It is a 5-question quiz, so you haven't won it yet.
Oh, okay.
From a cursory... So Spotify have 3 key audio channels: music, podcasting, and audiobooks. From a quick Google search on each of them, which of those 3 channels is expected to have the highest compound annual growth rate up to 2030? In other words, between audiobooks, podcasting, and music streaming, what is expected to grow the fastest for the rest of this decade?
Red herring question, so I'm going to go audiobooks.
Bryce is going to go audiobooks. Sasha, what are you going to go?
Oh, well, then I would pick audiobooks too, but am I allowed to pick the same answer?
It's less fun for the game.
Well, I'm going to go with podcasts then.
Okay. Coming in at 3rd place, music streaming, 15% forecast compound annual growth rate. Surprised me. That's meaningful. 2nd place, audiobooks at 26%, leaving podcasts in 1st place at 31%. We're in the right industry, guys.
Nice. That's good to know.
It does mean Sasha has
31% compound. Nice.
Let's play for pride, Bryce.
Yeah.
4th question. In 2021, Spotify earned $11 billion in revenue.
Yeah.
How much did it pay out to rights holders, i.e. record labels, artists, composers, those that own the rights to the music that was streamed? Give me to the closest billion.
It can't be a lot. I don't think it's a lot.
So $11 billion in revenue, how much did they pay out?
Like two?
$2 billion? Sasha, what do you think?
$1 billion.
7 billion.
Nice.
Wow.
So, Bryce, you are closest to the yes. pin. So, 3-1. And that's a lot final, higher than I thought. Final question. The top, but we're looking at the peak of the CD era compared to last year, which is the highest point in the digital streaming era.
Mm-hmm.
In which era, the CD era or the streaming era, did the top 50 US artists capture a bigger share of the total music pie?
What?
So like the it'd definitely be
like 90s, now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like mid-90s or now.
Yeah.
Did the top 50 US artists capture more of the total revenue in music then or now?
Oh, okay.
I would say now.
You would say now, Sasha? Top 50 are taking more now? Well, Bryce, are you going to take
it? I'm going to have to take the other side.
For the sake of the game?
Yeah.
Well, Bryce Lesky, you had to take it, but you were right to take it because you are right. At the peak of the CD era, the top 50 artists in the US took 25% of total music revenue in the US.
Mm.
In the streaming era, it's 12%.
More people getting cash.
Yeah, there's a longer tail.
A lot more, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Love it. Wow. Well, congratulations, Sasha, taking home the...
Oh, yeah, Sasha, which book do you want to choose?
Matthew Riley.
Matthew Riley. Shout out Matthew Riley. Sasha, I'm sorry to say, I actually don't think it was one of his best ones, but you've locked it in and you're taking it home.
Love it. Well, thanks for joining us. Guys. Thanks for joining us, Sasha. And that does bring us to the end of today's episode. We've covered a lot, but as I said, next week we're closing out with our bold predictions review with us. Then we've got Andrew on Thursday and then a crypto review on Friday. So plenty going on.
And if you haven't been able to play Book Bonanza, but you would like a copy of Get Started Investing, the perfect Christmas gift.
Absolutely.
Amazon, $19. Booktopia, a little bit more than $19, but that's a good Australian company. Head over and pick it up now.
Love it. Well, we'll leave it there. Sasha, thank you. Ren, we'll pick it up next week.
Sounds good.
You have been listening to an EquityMates Media production. In the spirit of reconciliation, EquityMates Media acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs, or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. EquityMates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services Licence 540697.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.